That's 310-674-5896. You're listening to School of the Prophets with Evangelist Stefan Benson. I'm Phyllis Banks.
Great is your grace. Help me say I'm the same.
Great is your mercy towards me.
Yes,
your loving kindness towards me. Your tender mercies I see. Day after day.
Amen, amen. I like the song that personalizes the blessings of God. Great is your mercy towards me, Lord. Great is your faithfulness towards me. Me, it's not my brother, not my mother. It's me standing in the need of prayer. Amen. Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Welcome again to the School of the Prophets. We are live here at KTYM out of Inglewood, 1460 on your AM dial. Once again, we invite you to join the class as we study the end times. And as I promised, we will return to the first chapter of the book of Revelation and move on from there. If you're able, please take your Bible and open to the first chapter of the book of Revelation. And we'll put in at verse 9. Now, last week and before, we have told you that the great revelation of Jesus the Christ in the book of Revelation is the fact that he is unveiled as the judge of all mankind. He is the great judge in the book of Revelation. This is what is revealed about Christ Jesus that is not revealed so much in the Gospels nor in the Old Testament in its types and shadows. But here, the judgment work of the Messiah is fully being displayed and described. And that judgment, as we have said, begins with the church, the house of God. And in the very first vision, which John saw and recorded in the first chapter, he sees the Son of Man dressed in high priestly garments, standing in the midst of seven golden lampstands, which represent the seven churches of Asia Minor, which, prophetically speaking, is a symbol for the entire church for all time. John sees the apocalyptic Jesus standing in the midst of the seven lampstands, set to judge. His feet are in color as bronze that burns or glows in a furnace when it is fully lit, and his hair and head were white like wool, speaking of his omniscience and omnipresence, of his eternality. His eyes like a flame of fire. He sees all and knows all, and he's set to judge the house of God. And out of his mouth, John saw a sharp two-edged sword. This is the word of God. This is the instrument of judgment for the church. You need to understand this very clearly. This vision, which the Lord commanded John to write, was catered for John. The Lord Jesus manifests himself as the apocalyptic Messiah, full of apocalyptic symbols, is my meaning when I say apocalyptic Jesus. His face was like the sun shining in its strength. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's the word of God. And he is set to judge the house of God. Now, we have been in this day of grace rightly viewing our Lord as the gentle Savior, the one who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, who rose from the dead, and we love him because he first loved us. But in the book of Revelation, we are going to see Jesus not so much as the Lamb of God who came the first time to take away the sin of the world, but we're going to see the Lord Jesus in this book revealed more so as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who will come forth in judgment upon this earth, the whole world, beginning with the church. And so we need to readjust our thinking right now about the Lord Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6, it says that he is a despot. The Lord Jesus is a despot. A son, it's translated, but the word should be despot over his own house. That's a dictator. He is a ruler over his own house. He's the head of the church, and he is the one that judges his own house. He will not allow anyone else to judge his house, for he is the head of the church. Furthermore, before this book of Revelation was written around 95 A.D., Jesus himself said in John chapter 5, verse 22, that the Father judges no one, but he has committed all judgment unto the Son. The Father himself would judge no one, but he has committed all judgment to the Son. And again, in verse 27 of the fifth chapter of John, he says, and the Father has given him authority, that is, given the Son authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. He's a human being. He's touched with the feelings of our weaknesses, yet without sin. He can empathize and sympathize with us to a degree. And his judgment of the church is therefore tempered with mercy, because mercy rejoices against judgment in the time of judgment. And so, being a merciful and faithful high priest, yet he will judge his own house. He is a dictator over that house. He is a despot over that house. He is a ruler of that house. And we need to appreciate the Lord Jesus as he is today. The Prince of Peace, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the coming King. Now, we also recognize that the judgment that will accrue to the world first begins with the church. As Peter said, the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. We see in the book of Revelation, the first judgment to be rendered is upon the church. And that word of judgment is in the letters of chapters 2 and 3 written to the seven churches of Asia Minor, present-day Turkey. And in each of those letters, there's a redress and encouragement, and there is condemnation. There are exhortations and promises to the overcomers. And each of those letters address conditions in the church which would be predominant in its history and would be perhaps even some of those characteristics would be found in the individual as well. But before we look at the judgment of the Lord Jesus on the church in the seven letters to the seven churches, let us first examine the Lord Jesus in the days that he walked and ministered in Israel. Because before the nation rejected Jesus as the Messiah, he announced that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. The promised kingdom was at hand. He was the king in their midst, and he was going to bring the kingdom. If they had received him, he would have established the kingdom. However, knowing all things, he knew that they would not receive him, and therefore he would turn his ministry towards the building of his church, which is the new covenant people, not the nation of Israel, but people from all nations that put their trust in Jesus the Christ for their remission of their sins and for eternal life. He is now the head of the church, whereas when he walked in Israel, in the days when he ministered, he was the promised Messiah. He was their Messiah. And as the Messiah, he combined in his office, in his ministry, the threefold offices of king, prophet, and priest.